All right. Good evening and welcome to a special telephone town hall for Oakland County residents with County Executive Dave Coulter and experts from our health department. My name is Marcus and I work for Mr. Coulter. Let me tell you about how the call will work so that we can get started. Because of the number of people involved in the call, it is set up to be listen only. In other words, you can hear us, but we can't hear you. During questions, I can press a button on my computer so that the person asking the question can be heard by the rest of us when they ask their question. If you would like to ask a question, please press 9 on your keypad. You will then be transferred to another member of our staff who will take down your name and the subject of your question. After you provide the information, you will return to the main call. When I call your name, you will be able to ask your question. Again, if at any time in the call you would like to ask a question, press 9 on your keypad. Now I'm going to turn the call over to Oakland County Executive Dave Coulter.
Well, good evening, everyone. I really appreciate that you take the time to join us tonight. You know, as the positive cases of corona in our community increase, I know that all of our concerns increase as well, and especially with the holidays upon us. I wanted to hold a new round of town hall meetings to provide you the latest information and to answer your questions about this pandemic. As Marcus said, I want to remind you that if you have a question, press 9 on your dial pad, okay? So I'm joined tonight by Leanne Stafford. She's our Oakland County Health Officer. I'm going to ask Leanne to start off with just the latest information on cases in Oakland County. Leanne?
Yes, thank you, Executive Coulter. So today in Oakland County, we have recorded a total of 36,785 cases. In the past month, we have recorded over 14,000 of those cases, so a significant increase really in the last month. Our 7-day average of cases for 11/22 was 753 cases. And so just for comparison, when we look at the October 1st date, our daily average was 66. And if we look in June, in the summer, our daily cases were around 10. So a significant increase in our cases over the last few months. Our fatalities recorded today are 1,210. We're lucky to hear that, or to see that our cases per day, our average cases per day of daily death is under one case per day. And so that is good news in all of this. Unfortunately, every fatality that we have during this pandemic is a bad one, but, you know, we are seeing a trend in that moving in the right direction. Our positivity test rate, which really helps us assess the disease spread in our community, is 13.55%. That's over the last week of November. And for comparison, if we were to look at the first week of October, the positivity rate was a little over 3%. So as you can see, our percent positivity and really the disease spread in our community has increased significantly. Our hospitalizations, we continue to see a steady increase in hospitalizations. So we are steady. I think our hospitals are starting, you know, to see an increase, but we are stable at this point.
So thanks, Leanne, for helping to sort of just break it down by the numbers. But we know that these aren't just numbers. These are our neighbors. These are our family members. And really, any one of us is at risk of getting COVID-19. Leanne, maybe talk a little bit about and help us understand the demographics behind these numbers. Who's getting COVID these days?
Yeah, so in the past month, 65% of our new cases have been younger than 60 years old. So that's very different than maybe what we saw in the beginning of this pandemic, so early in the spring. And as even though we continue to see the numbers increase in every age group, the age group that the most cases by percentage that we're seeing is the 20 to 29 year age group. So although we're seeing increases in every age group, that 20 to 29 continues to be the leading group in Oakland County.
So these numbers obviously are troubling. And while they're even a little hard to comprehend, we do know that the stay-at-home orders in the past and the continued vigilance of Oakland County residents worked before, and it can work again. We flattened the curve and spent the summer with much lower rates of infection. That's no longer the case. We've surpassed the numbers of the early days, and our trajectory is definitely, as you heard, on the wrong track. So this is especially important to keep in mind, as I said, as we enter the holiday season. We all want to gather with our loved ones, especially at a time when life is harder and more unsure than ever before. But this is exactly the moment we need to dig in and find the resolve to battle this virus a little longer. There's promising vaccines on the horizon as well. That's the good news. And Leanne can share a little bit about it, the information on those. Leanne?
So we hear that there are many vaccines that are being developed and tested. Some will be ready before others. What we're looking at is how we can provide the vaccine throughout our community. And so there may be limited supply of the COVID vaccine before the end of 2020, but that supply will continually increase in the weeks and months that follow. If there is a limited supply, some groups will have priority to get the vaccine first. Cost will not be an obstacle, and as we continue to create those plans, those will be provided to the community moving forward.
So some really exciting and promising news really on the vaccine front, Leanne. By the way, if you're just joining us, thank you. This is Dave Coulter, Oakland County Executive. I'm with Leanne Stafford, our public health officer in Oakland County. And we're doing this special call for residents as an update on COVID pandemic as we head into the winter and months and the holiday season. Don't forget, if you want to ask a question, press 9 on your dial pad. We want to make sure you have the latest information about coronavirus, primarily so that you can stay safe and healthy. We're also going to tell you a little bit about the steps that the county is taking in lockstep with our public health department to slow the spread of the virus in our community and our county and to prepare for the vaccines that are on the horizon. It's vital that we continue to be vigilant about the things that we know are working. So you've heard them before, but stay home if you can, wear a mask, stay 6 feet away from other members of the public, and follow the guidelines for hand washing and not touching your face when you come home until you wash your hands at least. And remember, you can still access testing through the county as well as at our countywide testing sites. So, Leanne, maybe let's talk a little bit more about testing and what that entails these days.
Yes, so we have county testing available 5 days a week. We are going to be announcing some new locations next week as the weather starts to get colder. We're going to be moving more indoors but still having plenty of ventilation, so we'll be announcing those next week. So if you are interested in a test or if you are symptomatic, our nurse on call are taking appointments Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. The contact information to schedule an appointment is 1-800-848-5533. And as a reminder, there is no cost for these appointments. We do ask that you call. There are no same-day appointments at this time, and Nurse on Call will get you scheduled for the next available appointment.
Great. So we're almost time for questions, and remember, if you have a question, press 9 on your dial pad. But Leanne, I'd like to ask you one more thing. So we're heading into Thanksgiving and then the holidays. This is a time when we gather together indoors. Can you give us some suggestions about ways that we can stay safe this winter while we're gathering, if we're gathering during these kinds of situations?
And we all understand this is hard. During the holidays, we want to gather with our families. But, you know, what we have seen and the data shows is the gatherings, large gatherings, close together gatherings is what has caused, you know, the number of cases that we continue to soar. So We're asking that you celebrate the holidays a little bit different this year to really limit the spread of COVID-19 and help keep everyone safe. So instead of gathering in large groups, have a smaller dinner with maybe the members of your household, maybe one additional household, and visit with other family or friends virtually. So Skype or Zoom them into the meal or to the call and have a virtual meeting. Also, it looks like our weather is going to be a bit warmer on Thursday, and so maybe there's an opportunity for you to gather outside in a garage, you know, with a garage door open so that you have good ventilation. What we do know is the more people an individual interacts with and the longer that interaction lasts, the higher the potential risk of becoming infected with COVID-19 and spreading the virus. This has even a higher risk if preventative actions are not practiced, like wearing a mask, keeping 6 feet and social distancing from others, staying home when sick, and most importantly, and continue to wash their hands. But most importantly, please, if you're sick, stay home. This is a trend we continue to see in our communities as we investigate cases, that people are still leaving their homes when they're sick. And so if not just if you're sick with COVID, but if you have a common cold or you have the flu, it's very important that you stay home. So if you are experiencing COVID-19 symptoms, if you've been diagnosed with COVID-19, even if you are waiting COVID-19 results, you really should be staying at home. Again, even more importantly, you know, doing that virtual visit with family members to keep everyone safe. And lastly, if you do attend a gathering with people outside of your household, please consider avoiding contact with people for 14 days after that gathering. That's the incubation period for coronavirus once you've been exposed. So once you've had that or been part of that gathering, watching for signs and symptoms over 14 days is really recommended.
All right. So that will be the information we wanted to share with you. But let's get to some questions. And remember, again, if you have a question, press 9 on your dial pad. And if you're joining us, thank you. Again, this is Dave Coulter, the Oakland County Executive. I'm with Leanne Stafford, our public health officer, and we're hosting this special call for Oakland County residents around coronavirus and the importance of staying home. So I think we have some callers on the line. Is that right, Marcus?
That is correct, Dave. We are going to start off with Tania from Oak Park, who has a question regarding the vaccine and individuals with the weakened immune system.
Great. Tania, welcome.
Hi, how are you today?
Wonderful, thanks.
Yeah, that's good. Yes, I was wondering if and when the vaccine was going to be available, if it's going to be this year or early next year. And also, my sister has multiple sclerosis, and her medication makes her immune system weakened. And I just wanted to know, would that be safe for her?
That is a great question. And so, as we wait for information from the vaccine distributors and those from the federal government, once we have that information, we will provide that as a, you know, just as information about the vaccine. So there is limited information right now about the vaccines that are being developed, but very soon we will be receiving that information and be able to provide it to the public.
What about her sister with the multiple sclerosis?
Same thing. Yeah. So we'll be awaiting that information. Again, as we wait for the trials and the information regarding that, at this time we don't really have that information, and so we will provide that when we receive it.
Leanne, what are you hearing about when we might get the vaccinations? You know, at least initially and some of that.
Yes. So we are hearing that by the end of the year we will receive a limited amount of vaccine. So there is a lot of preparation in that emergency authorization that they're working with the FDA. So we are waiting at the edge of our seats, you know, anticipating that any time we could receive a delivery date for the vaccine.
Great. All right. Marcus, do we have another question?
Yes, we do. We're going now with Wayne in Commerce Township, who has a question about antibodies.
Right. Hey, Wayne.
Hello.
Good evening. What's your question, sir? Yes.
Well, my wife and I and son had the virus early in March, and in May, my wife and I were tested, and we both tested positive for antibodies. The question is, how long, you have any idea how long the antibodies are lasting in individuals, and can individuals with antibodies get the virus for a second time?
Yes, that is a great question. So we're not exactly sure. Everyone's a little bit different when their antibodies may wane. And so what CDC says right now, based on the information that they have, is that for 3 months, after you test positive for COVID-19, at that point, they do not think those 3 months that you would actually get the virus again. They are seeing limited data on a second infection, but again, just, you know, only being 9 months into the virus, it's still novel. We're still learning a lot about it, and so there's not a lot of information out about that yet. And so we continue to, you know, learn about antibodies, and so yeah, we'll continue to provide updates as we receive more information about that.
Yeah. And like a lot of things, err on the side of caution because until we know more, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Good question, Wayne. All right. Marcus.
All right. Next, we have Terry from Sylvan Lake with a question about college. Terry, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hi. Thank you very much for doing this. Our daughter just came home from college for the next month and a half from Florida, and we've all been wearing masks in the house and keeping our distance, and we had her get one COVID test right when she got home, but we are going to have her get another one. And just wondering if you have any advice on, like, how long we should be distancing ourselves from her until we can consider her, like, part of the family unit again, or any other advice on what precautions we should take.
That is a very good question, and I know a lot of questions. That's a question a lot of households have right now as their children come back from college. And so, you know, CDC indicates that the incubation period for COVID is anywhere from 2 to 14 days, and that most people become ill with COVID between 5 and 6 days after exposure. So what you may do is, now that you've had her tested when she came home, obviously you're watching for signs and symptoms, but at the end of that 14 days, somewhere 12, 13, 14 days, possibly have her tested again. And then if she's negative after those 14 days, again, that's one full incubation period, and she should be able to join that family unit again. So.
Excellent. Yep, a lot of people in that situation now. Great, great. That 14 days is an important number to remember. That's the incubation period. And after that, you can have some assurance that you've gotten through it. Marcus, another question?
We've got Matthew in Madison Heights. He's got a question regarding the cold weather that we are starting to experience. Matthew, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Yes, I have two questions. One question is, will the cold weather slow the virus or kill it, or could it actually mutate because of the cold weather? Because we really haven't had a... But we really haven't, talked about, could this virus mutate? And can the cold weather actually kill it, as other does some other viruses? I mean, cold weather is below zero.
Yeah. That's a great question, and we don't have a lot of data around the virus mutating, or even if the cold or heat kills the virus. You know, obviously we saw it continue to, the cases to increase last spring, right, and even in January and February when it was cold, and even in the summertime, we still saw cases continue, to occur. So there isn't any data on that at this time, but I'm sure as this virus continues, to move forward, there will be data and research on that topic.
Okay, and my second question is, for many of us that are on medications, which I'm on many medications, what type of effects have they looked in the people who've been on, let's say, blood thinners and heart medications and medications for anxiety and depression? Is there any, what type of data is there showing that there's no going to be an effect by this shot, this COVID vaccine?
Unfortunately, we do have very limited data on the vaccine at this point. We're awaiting those phase 3 trials that, you know, should be released very soon, and then we will be able to provide more update and information on those, maybe, you know, if those were tested or those types of medications were looked into, but again, we're kind of awaiting that information as the vaccine is rolled out.
We don't have a specific vaccine yet, so let's be clear about that. But Leanne, maybe could you talk about the general efficacy of vaccines, what they go through when you say phase 3 trials, you know, what these vaccines have gone through, whichever one it is ends up being that you may get, to help ensure that they're as safe as possible.
Right. Yes. You know, and there's a very specific process that all vaccines go through. There's a trial period, and so that's what FDA will be looking at when they start to meet with these vaccine companies that say, okay, we tested our phase 1 approach. They might have to have a certain amount of people that volunteer for the vaccine, and they have to meet certain indicators to move to the next phases. And so when they get to phase 3, that is where we hear about them requesting from FDA that approval for emergency use. And so FDA is going to do a very, you know, specific look at that vaccine and then either provide that emergency authorization authorization or not. So they will be meeting in December to look at those trials.
How many people in a phase 3 study get tested? And I mean, I know it can be different, but generally, I mean, we're talking about a very large number here.
Okay? Yeah, they are. Yeah, and we're talking about thousands. Yeah,
tens of thousands
right.
of people.
Correct. Yeah.
So there is.
They don't move to the next phase until they meet those specific numbers.
Yeah.
And so in phase 3, they have tested a significant amount of people that have volunteered, and they're really looking at different age groups, right? The people fall in different races and ethnicities, so that they meet the demographics. Of what the United States looks like or the population looks like.
Because I'm not trying to put any words in Leanne's mouth, but I just wanted you to know that by the time a vaccine gets to the market, it has been through some pretty rigorous scientific evaluation. Not to say it's perfect, not to say there may not be interactions with a medication that you happen to be on, but these things are rigorously tested. And in general, like our other vaccines, you can have a high degree of confidence that the science justifies having the vaccine. But as Leanne is quick to point out, we don't have them yet, and we'll get you that information as soon as we do. Thanks. Great question, Matthew. Marcus, who else?
Okay, we've got Jonathan from West Bloomfield. He has a question about the health department and Oakland County. Jonathan, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave and Leanne. So what is the county doing to coordinate better with Oakland Community Health Network, so OCHN, with the shelter-in-place order to better support the folks from mental illness, developmentally disabled, substance use, or dare I even say even physical abuse perspective, given the stress of it all? Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we recognized early on that we're facing not only a public health issue, but we're also facing an economic issue, a social issue. This virus comes at us in a lot of different ways, right? And one of the things that we identified is exactly, Jonathan, what you're talking about, which is our nonprofit organization that help with those support services. So even if you don't have coronavirus, as you point out, you could get anxiety or depression just as a result of the things that we're all going through. And so we've done a couple of things. We're working very closely with our nonprofit partners. We're connecting you know, we started a hotline, for instance, first of all, and I want people to know on this call that that hotline that we started way back in the spring is still up and running. So if you have any question related to the pandemic, and it doesn't have to be a medical or a public health question, it can be a social service question. It can be a I don't have food. It can be a I'm having depression and anxiety. You can call this number, a single number that will get you to those services. And let me just say that's 248-858-1000. 248-858-1000. So we encourage people to do that, and we will connect you to those services. And secondly, we thought it was our responsibility as a government to use some of the federal assistance money that we got back in the spring, the CARES dollars, to help directly support financially our nonprofits who are doing so much work with these, what you might call support services, to get our residents through this. So we're giving them and other nonprofits direct financial assistance because they have seen increased caseloads, and we're also trying to do a better job of connecting our residents to those services. So those are just a couple of ways that we have, as a county, have tried to support all of those kinds of services. You hit that on the head, you know, substance abuse, mental health services, homelessness, or housing insecurity, food issues. This pandemic has caused so many different types of issues that we're leaning into just as well as we can. But I will say the best thing we can all do is to get these numbers back down and to take these precautions seriously so that we don't overwhelm our nonprofits and our hospitals and our health department as well. Thanks, Jonathan. That's a great question. Just to remind you, if you have a question, press 9 on your dial pad, and you Marcus will put you through to either myself, Dave Coulter, or Leanne Stafford, who's our public health officer here in Oakland County. Marcus.
Yep. Thank you, Dave. We've got a question from Sandy in Southfield in regards to test results. Sandy, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hi, and thanks so much for having this conversation with the community. Just wanted to know, am I able to go online to get my test results?
Actually, this is a great question. At this minute, you are not able to, but actually on Monday, we will be launching a public portal where you, once you get your test results, you will be able to go in about 48 to 72 hours and be able to get your results directly from that website. You will get a text message from the company that says your test result is ready, and you can log in and get your test results. So we are very excited that this initiative is coming and will, you know, actually help workload and be able to provide those results very fast to our community. Great question.
Good question. So preview of coming attractions starting Monday. You'll be able to get your – is that on the county's website?
It actually is supported by our contracted company, Helix, which is what we are using as our lab.
So, okay. Yes. Excellent. All right. Good news on that front. Marcus, who else?
Yep. Before we take the next question, we have had some requests to repeat the number for our nurse on call in order to schedule tests. For that, you can call 1-800-848-5533. Once again, that is 1-800-848-5533.
Yeah, and we have a number of drive-through testing sites around the county, so they'll tell you which one is closest to you and make an appointment. And 5 days a week currently. And then, you know, eventually when we get to vaccines, we'll be able to we'll be able to move into doing the vaccines the same way. So please call our nurse on call, not only to make an appointment, but for any medical question that you have. If you're wondering if your symptom means something or what you should do, our nurse on call folks are wonderful health professionals who are there every day to answer those questions for you.
All right. Our next question, we've actually got a couple of questions in regards to the quarantine time frame. So we're going to ask Mary from White Lake. Go ahead with your question whenever you're ready.
Yes, I just got my results back, and I'm in my 12th day of symptoms. But, I'm getting better. My question is, Do I need to get retested after 14 days, or do I stay quarantined for another 14?
Were you quarantined because you had a positive result?
I just found out my result today. I quarantined myself because I thought I had the flu. This has
so been, it sounds like you were symptomatic, right? You had symptoms. And so
yes.
Test results, you know, even with results, or I'm sorry, the symptoms, the quarantine time is 14 days. So if you have not tested positive and maybe you've just been exposed or you're showing symptoms, it lasts from 14 days for your last possible exposure. But if you've had symptoms, what they look at is 10 days from your onset of symptoms, so that's your first day of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You go out 10 days, and as long as you are fever-free for 24 hours and your symptoms are better, you would be what's considered out of isolation and quarantine. If you were tested and you were positive, then your test or your 10 days actually start from the date of the test. So I would suggest, if you have specific questions related to your situation, is call our nurse on call in the morning, and they will walk you through your scenario and make sure you are quarantining for the number of days based on your symptoms and your situation.
Good.
All right. Our next question comes from Troy. Comes from Troy. This is Michael, who has some questions regarding the vaccine.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, good evening. Thank you guys for doing this. I missed the first couple minutes, so I apologize if it's been answered already, but just some general questions. I know you don't know that really much about the vaccine and priorities and all that, because I don't think the CDC has even published that yet. But what I'm wondering is some procedural questions related to the vaccine. Will it be free? Will it be administered through Oakland County? And how will you notify when the vaccine is available? Will you do another one of these calls here, you know, after the vaccine is available? And will you let us know which company it's from? Because I don't know much about this, but it's my understanding that some of the companies, the one that is with the FDA right now that was just submitted, that's a two-dosage approach, whereas other ones, as we get into the spring, those may be a one-dosage. So those are my questions.
Let me start with the last question, and then I'll let Leanne jump in on the more technical stuff. But in terms of how we will let people know the vaccine is available, we're currently working behind the scenes on not only a very robust plan to get the vaccines out to folks, but how to communicate that as well. I don't know if it'll be a town hall like this. It'll probably be PSAs and radio ads and TV, and you might even see my mug on the, or you know, hear my voice on the radio. But we're working diligently to make sure that we communicate when it's ready, who can get it, how to get it, and all that stuff. And so we'll do our doggondest. And if for some reason you don't watch much TV or radio, you can always go to our website, oakgov.com, and the information, all of this information is updated daily there. So that's always a great place to get information as well. But on the other questions, I'll let Leanne handle that.
Yes. And so cost will not be an obstacle. You know, this will be available to anyone that is wanting the vaccine. And the questions, I think the best number to keep in your back pocket is Nurse on Call. Because as we receive more information about the vaccine and what manufacturers we will have available at our site, they will have that available. We are looking at some type of registration process, so there will be an opportunity for anyone that's interested in asking questions to be able to do that through that process. Great question.
But very much, and correct me if I'm wrong, Leanne, very much, yes, Oakland County Health Department will be administering the vaccine. But it's likely that there's other partners as well, right? I know the federal government, the CDC, is working with other partners. Can we talk about those yet? Is that...
Yeah, I mean, what they're looking at is using pharmacies, right, to assist with distribution, also hospitals to assist with, you know, at least vaccinating their own employees and their affiliates. And so then, you know, in addition to, I'm sure there will be other partners that we will work at, you know, other smaller clinics, trying to get it out into the community, you know, as quick as possible once there is enough vaccine to push it out to the community.
So much like the flu vaccine, you'll get it, you can get it from us, we're happy to do that, but you probably end up being able to get it at Rite Aid as well and your local pharmacy, because the idea is to get it out as widely as possible, and the challenge, just so you all know, is going to be the number of vaccines that we get. So it's going to, you know, it's not going to, on day one, we're not going to have enough, that 1.25 million to vaccinate everyone in Oakland County that wants one, but we'll get it out and make it as widely available. And cost will not be an obstacle. So if you don't have the funds to pay for it, that will not be an obstacle.
And I think the other question you had was the two-dose series. The two manufacturers that we're hearing about now are two-dose series, so either 21 or 28 days apart. So at this time, that's the information we have about the vaccine that will probably be released the earliest, you know, probably by the end of the year.
Yeah. Great question. Really good. Excellent questions. We have a very smart county. Marcus, who's got our next question?
We've got Janine from Farmington Hill. She has a question regarding surgery. Janine, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, Janine.
I have a question at my oral surgeon next week, and I obviously cannot wear a mask during any of the procedures there. And I was wondering if there was a way to find out if that facility has ever been on the outbreak list that I see on the Michigan website.
You know, I would really recommend you picking up the phone and calling that facility. These facilities are being transparent. Everyone is doing, I think, their best, right, to create safety protocols as it's best for their patients. It's great. It's best for their employees. And so I would, the businesses are not available, the outbreaks on the website, but I feel confident if you call and you have a conversation with them, they'll provide you the information that you're looking for.
And I would just add this, Janine. You know, the virus is so widespread that we should just sort of assume that it could be anywhere. So we don't keep a list of, oh, it was here, it was there, because we know it's all over the county now. So perhaps a better question to ask your provider is, what precautions are you taking? What are you folks doing to help keep me safe? Can I put this off if that makes more sense? And ask them what their procedures are. And if you don't feel comfortable with their protocol, that's a better thing for you to know than if they'd had a case in the past, because we're just kind of going with the fact that it's all through our county right now, unfortunately. Thanks, Janine.
Okay, our next question is about the symptoms of COVID. We have Edwina here with the question. Edwina, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I was just wondering, what are the specific symptoms to this coronavirus? I know they always, when you go into a store or something, they take your temperature, so fever must be one of the symptoms, and I just wonder if there's, you know, specific aches and pains or lung problems or sniffles. I mean, how do you know when you have some symptoms that are related to the virus?
That is a really good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, there are a wide range of symptoms, and fever, cough, shortness of breath are three of, you know, probably three of the symptoms you hear the most people talk about, but there are other ones. You hear of people losing their ability to smell and to taste. You hear that people have maybe a headache over a course of days. You hear about people having diarrhea, you hear about people vomiting, and so you really are, it is, you know, quite a few symptoms that can maybe be COVID-19. And so, you know, I guess the best opportunity is if you are feeling unwell or you're starting to experience any symptoms, the best thing to do is to call your physician. Have a conversation with them, you know, talk to them, you know, because we do have flu in the area as well. And so If you do not have a healthcare provider, though, that is our nurse on call line. They are able to answer those questions and talk about next steps, whether they would encourage you to be tested. But most importantly, if you are experiencing any symptoms, that you stay at home until you get maybe further guidance or you're feeling better. It's very important that you stay home when you're not feeling well.
And, you know, Leanne brings up a good point. We're in flu season and cold season, and sometimes those symptoms can be very similar. So err on the side of caution. If you think, oh, I might just have a little cold, get tested. Stay home and get tested. Oh, I think this is the flu. You don't know for sure. It may or may not be. And so get tested and take the precautions. One of the things I know Leanne has educated me on is that we've seen a lot of people, because this is the time of year where you say, oh, I got a sniffle, you know, I got a little cold, but I can't take a day off work. I got too much to do. This is the time not to be that person, not to be too brave. This is the time to say, oh, I need to be very observant about what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing and take it very seriously so that I don't infect my coworkers. So, you know, it's a tough time of year because it looks like other things. Mm-hmm. Err on the side of caution. Assume it could be COVID.
All right. Next, a very timely question regarding Thanksgiving. This is Debbie from Bloomfield Hills. Debbie, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Debbie.
It's nice of you guys to do this. I wanted to ask because, you know, I know they're like what they're saying, like with maybe like one family for Thanksgiving. I'm a type 1 diabetic, so I've been scared to death by my doctors. Like, I'm not supposed to go anywhere. I only have like my daughter and my grandson and my son-in-law. I've been seeing them like once a week. So am I safe to go to Thanksgiving?
Well, I think the word is safe. You know, I think you have to understand what their exposures are as well. So where you may be staying more in your house and you know, really paying attention to the exposure that you have, what you need to do is have a conversation with them about their exposures because it's really important. If they're still going to work, if your grandson is in, you know, in school, or, you know, does extracurricular activities, it's important for everyone to know what the possible exposures are. So when you have others in your home or you go to someone else's home, there is a risk of exposure, and there is a risk that you could have or someone could have COVID-19 and not know it yet and not be showing symptoms. So it's important to understand what that other household, you know, on a daily basis does, and then make your decision based on that. But when you bring people together in gatherings, right, there's always a risk and a potential for exposure to COVID-19 and other things. You know, as Dave mentioned, is the flu or the other common cold. So maybe what you could do is add some additional precautions if you decided to gather with your family. Is maintain, you know, that social distancing. So try to stay 6 feet from them. Wear your mask, even if it is indoors, to try to protect you even more. You know, make sure that you're washing your hands frequently. And, you know, again, another important thing is if you can be outside and gather, that's even more reduces your risk of that exposure.
So we're winding down, but, you know, that reminds me of a question that I get a lot, Leanne, and I'm guessing you get a lot. In fact, a friend of mine asked me this question today. I want to travel. I want to go to Florida, or I want to go somewhere. And when I get there, I'll be isolated. I'll be in a hotel room, whatever. But obviously nothing is 100% safe. What are your thoughts and advice on people who might want to travel this season?
Yeah. I think the most important thing is to check about the location you're going. So if you're going to Florida or you're going somewhere else, we know coronavirus is going, but what is the level of coronavirus that's at the spot you're going? Is it different than what we see here? I think the more you travel, again, as we've talked about, it is an increased risk, right? So whether you're in a hotel or, you know, somewhere else has a restaurant that you're in, is when you get out of your area and your same-day activity, the risk of exposure and, you know, even the risk for contracting COVID-19, it does increase significantly. So it is something, as you're thinking about it, think about how you're going to travel. If you're going to travel by car versus plane, and really look at what that risk is to you based on, what your maybe your ailments are or maybe some of the conditions that you have, and decide if traveling is worth that exposure.
Part of our common theme, use caution, and when in doubt, err on the side of more caution, because as we started out the call by saying, we're seeing numbers today in Oakland County 3 times higher than they were during the peak in April. It's a very serious time. Not trying to be alarmist, but I want us to all get through this holiday season so that we can be in person with our family and our loved ones next holiday season. So I think that's it for our questions. I really want to thank you for being on the line with us. I hope you have found this helpful. By the way, if we didn't get to your question, if you stay on the line after we hang up, you can leave a message with us. Or if you didn't want to ask your question, you can stay on the line and leave a message with us. Is that right, Marcus?
That is correct. You can just leave a message right after the event is over, and then we will we'll return your calls as quickly as possible.
Thank you, everybody, and have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving.